the book of Galatians, chapter 6, reading the first five verses. Galatians 6, 1 through 5, and in your pew Bibles you'll find that on page 1132. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load.
So have you ever felt trapped? What's that like? What's it like to feel trapped? Scary. Feel like it's no way out and you're scared. What's scary about feeling there's no way out? Hard to breathe. How else when you feel trapped? You feel alone when you're trapped. What else do you feel when you're trapped? Helpless when you're trapped. Panicky when you're trapped. Out of control when you're trapped. So think about all these things, those situations where you've found yourself trapped. And what is it that you want to do the most? Run away. Get out. Because we hate the feeling, right? And we feel out of control. We want control. It might be painful to be trapped. Emotionally, physically. And have you ever seen those commercials where the animals are either in a trap or penned up, and they're asking you for finances to help to do what for these animals? To liberate them. What else? To give them a home, a place where there is care. What else do they want the money for? To heal them. So they've got this, they're in a situation where they're scared, they might be hurting, and as much as we want to intervene for their sake, for their health, for their good, what is the one thing that you need to remember if you're going up to an animal that is trapped? It might be aggressive because they're scared. They don't want to be hurt anymore, and they might be afraid you're going to hurt them more. So they might just react and you go, "But I'm just trying to help." Have you been ever in a situation like that when the help you were trying to give someone, what you received back from them was snarling teeth in a jaw that was biting? And you sit there, "I'm just trying to help." But you can't make them understand that. They have to become okay and trust that you're there to help them, because whoever it was that put them in their situation, they probably or maybe looked a lot like you. So they don't trust you. And trust is both earned and given. So when you think about that, these animals that are trapped, we want to help them. We want to provide medical care for them. We want to provide nutrition for them. But we also know when we're doing these things, there's some emotional things because of the pain of being trapped. And in midst of all that, health doesn't happen just because you release them from the trap or open the pen or take them off the collar, does it? What does it take for healing? It takes time. Can you give yourself time to become more of what God wants you to be, or do you need it right now? Can you give other people time to allow God to heal them from the wounds that the world has placed on them, or do they have to feel healed right now? A lot of times what we do is when we see someone in pain and we want to remove that pain from them, we do whatever we can, and when they're still in pain, we tell them, "Well, you should be better by now." You go, but I'm trying. I'm healing. But, you know, I'm just having a hard time watching you in pain. Could you just stop acting like you're in pain? Oh, little chuckles out there, huh? A touch of nerve, maybe? Is maybe you come to church, maybe you're sitting there right now thinking that everybody wants you to walk around here so that they don't see your pain? Are you sitting there hurting, just hoping that someone won't ask the question? Or maybe are you sitting there hurting and you go, I don't want someone to ask the question, but I really want someone to ask the question. The world wants us to be silent. Satan wants us to be silent. God wants us to speak. Because until we reveal ourselves, reveal our heart, reveal our wounds, reveal our pain, and know that someone who loves us deeply can come in and start to heal those pains, that he can take the burden that we have and remove the ultimate burden for the sake of our ultimate healing. So in light of living in light of the resurrection, what we're going to be talking about today are two metaphors of restoration and cultivation. One of the things about living in light of the resurrection is God is creating a community that he calls a church, a community that is there to let those who are healing heal so that they can get the care, the medical treatment, the nourishment, and that people will give them the time to heal themselves. And as we become healed, we learn, now this is how I have been healed. Now I can go, and when I see people around me who are hurting, who are trapped, I can from a distance tell them, there's hope for you. I don't just rush in and try and release them because I might get bit. But what I want them to know is that I'm there for you. And if they want me to be there for them, I will enter in, but I won't push my way in. That's not my job. Jesus didn't do that either. He didn't push his way into people's hearts. He comes before them and says, here I am. But in our world, we think it's our job to fix people. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to fix you in spite of whether you want it or not. He says, I will be present and I will be the source of your healing if you want it. That's about being present with people, but not forcing people to be anything other than what they want to be. God's given them the choice. We need to give them the choice. And if they invite us in, we do what we can. We hand them the things that we have been handed. We give them the care that we have been given. We give them the comfort that we have been given. Will it be perfect? No, but God will give us the wisdom to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So all he's calling us to do is to be present. And in this passage of Scripture, he says, if anyone is caught in sin, you know, over the past 3 weeks, there's been this continual idea of being caught, right? 2 weeks ago, Patrick was talking about being caught and how sin leads to death. We get trapped in it. And here he says, if anyone is caught in sin, there's hope for you. But there's only hope for you if you enter into a community that has a culture of care and growth. If you enter a community that is just there to point out how you're wounded and how you're sick and how you're ailing, it's kind of like being in the community of the Israelites in the first century when the Apostle Paul was seeing this Jewish man say he's the Messiah and people following him. And he says, for God's sake, I will wipe you out. So when he thought that they were sinning, what he was bringing down was a hammer of what he called truth. His truth, not the truth. Because what he was doing was trying to exterminate the truth for his truth. We got to be very careful about that. And the only way we know is by being in God's word and being prayerful that he would reveal his truth so that we can live in truth for the sake of others so that they can see truth. And he says, those who are caught, unlike Saul, we don't want to crush them. He says, we are there to bring healing, to bring restoration. And he says, how do we do this? Did you catch that point? How do we restore people? Gently. So when you go to the doctor and you have a broken bone and they need to set that bone, What's the first thing you want them to be? Gentle. Right? Is it any different when we have our emotional wounds? Is it any different when we go to somebody and say, I'm just going to sit with you for a while so that you can trust me that even though this is going to hurt a little, ultimately it's going to help a lot. And that's one thing we have to realize too, that in the healing process, sometimes we have to go into surgery where it's going to inflict more pain, more of a wound, but then the wound can be healed and that you can become what you were intended to be. But then again, that takes nutrition, that takes time, that takes exercise. But Jesus says this idea of gentleness is about like setting the bone. It's bearing the load. One of the things Jesus says is he's come into this world to be a load bearer. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that good that the God of heaven and earth, who knows our sin, comes into our presence and could be a taskmaster? But instead, to give us what we need, rather than what we deserve, he's humble and he's gentle. And he says, do I have a yoke for you? Yes. Do I have a burden for you? Yes. But how is that yoke and how is that burden different from the one you're already under? I want you to ask yourself, what are those burdens? What are those yokes that you've placed on yourself? Or maybe a religious system is placed on you, or maybe a work system, a family system is placed on you that God hasn't placed there, that you need to be something other than what you are, like these unique individual people up here who says, to be accepted by me, you have to be this. But one other thing God knows, he goes, yeah, I know you've got challenges. I know you've got burdens. In the person I want you to be, you can only see it through me. So we have to understand, how do we see ourselves through God's eyes? Well, we see ourselves through God's eyes through mercy, through truth. And if there is anything in me that is a burden that I'm bearing that needs to be lifted out, this sin that so easily entangles, God says, you can't remove it. You cannot unburden yourself on your own. Jesus comes and says, place the burden on me. And for us who are burdened down with this yoke, and all of a sudden it's lifted and it's set on him, and he says, we said, what do we do now, Jesus? He says, just follow me. But this doesn't look fair to you. He says, it's okay. But if I don't do this for you, you will be crushed. And Jesus takes the burden to the cross. And in his death, feels the full weight of it that we don't feel. And then God raises him, frees him from this fleshly earthly life, as he has freed us from this fleshly earthly life that's filled with burdens, so that we can live free before him, loving him, saying, what do you want from me, God? You are so gracious to me. He says, just learn in my scripture, in my text, in my revelation to you how I want you to live, and live the best you can. You're not going to do it perfectly. That's why I'm here. I'm going to send you the Spirit so that you can live better. That's why I'm here. But just trust that I've taken the load. We're told if Jesus sets us free, we're free indeed. Don't be burdened in prison anymore. And without Christ to bear our burden of sin, we'll be overwhelmed. We're told in the passage of Scripture, be careful that when you go to people and try to help them, be careful because you might get bit. Be careful because you might get trapped too. He says, be wise, but be caring. Because wasn't that what Jesus did? He saw our plight and he entered into it. He saw our pain and entered into it. And Jesus is our example that we can go into the lives of others too and just say, do you want me to help? And if they say, no, I'm better off alone, we say, okay, like Jesus did, and go and find someone who will accept it and receive it. We're told that we all have sinful desires, that we shouldn't be arrogant when we look at other people's diagnosis of sin and think that we're better than them, because we're just in the healing process from our own sin because of the healing work of the Spirit. And when you think about this message of denouncement in our social media, it's so easy now to just destroy a person through a text, through a tweet. And you don't even have to be close to them. It's kind of like war. It used to be hand-to-hand combat, but now you can do it from a distance and you dehumanize the other person. Isn't that the way our world has become? That people can just shoot off something to destroy a person's understanding of who they are and inflict more damage and more pain and not even be concerned about it. Well, here's a person now who is again writhing in pain from a wound that's been inflicted. But why do we keep going back to that? And Jesus says you need to find a community where there's health and healing, where people who aren't perfect, but they know that you need the help just as much as they do, and they can sit with you and care for you. And in doing so, we don't become prideful by denouncing other people's failings. And another thing we don't say is, well, at least. Never say at least to someone who's in pain. You know, someone I really love just died. Well, at least you have the rest of your family. Never say at least. That is not compassionate. That is not empathetic. Because Jesus doesn't come and say, well, at least your sins are forgiven. And we're still wounded because of what others have done to us and what we've done to ourselves. But what he wants us to be is this community of compassion. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body we're called to peace. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We all know that there are times in our journey, in our healing, when we're feeling pretty good and we can sing the praises of God and it's just joyful. But it might be a day later, a week later, a month later, but something else happens and all of a sudden it seems like that song is ripped from our throats and we can't sing it anymore because we're under such a weight. Well, what this passage of Scripture says, everyone carry your load. Everyone carry what God has given you. But when you see someone else who is overburdened by something, carry it for them for a while. Help them get through it. But ultimately, when they get over that hump, it's theirs to carry, theirs to manage. We don't do it for them. That's not our place. We carry our load. We help them with their burdens, but they have to carry their load ultimately. And in doing that, we are just like Christ, who says, I will be exactly what I need to be in spite of people understanding me. We have to understand that, like Peter and John, when Jesus says, Peter, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to go to your death. You're going to be taken places you don't want to go. And he's looking around and he goes, oh, John, what about him? And what Jesus is telling him, he says, this is your load, Peter. This is what is assigned to you. That's not assigned to John. Don't worry about his load. But what I want you to be, I want you to be a burden carrier for others so that when they in, you help them through it in that time so that they can get through it, so they can get stronger. And that's what we need to be. So how do we do this? We have that metaphor of restoration, but also cultivation. Each one carrying their load is the obligation that Christ has laid on each follower. That's our lot. We cultivate it. We have to be in the right soil. So the parable of the soils, is it rocky? We are only, you know, so deep. He says that's because when persecution comes from who you follow because you want to be a Christian, you go, oh, you're one of them? We go, oh, no, I'm not. Or he says, are there weeds that need to be taken out? Those are the fears of the world, the worries of the world. He says, you got to remove those too. We have to have the right seed. Is it the original? Is it the Word of God? Or is it some weed seed that's blown? Is it something that's been genetically modified? So that's kind of like Christ, but not fully like Christ. We need to be in the right climate, the right environment for growth. We need the medical care. We need the emotional care. We need nutritional care that happens over time. But it takes everyone committed to that so that we as a people here at Southside are committed so much to the kingdom of God that when the people of the world who are looking for a better way see that we're different kind of people who relate in a different kind of way that leads to healing, to health, to nutrition, not condemnation and separation. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that kind of a community? It happens when each and every one person makes that decision for themselves in spite of what everybody else does. Will you be that kind of a Christian in God's kingdom? That in spite of what everybody else in this congregation does, you're going to be the one person maybe that does it the way God wants it done. That you will be compassionate and caring. Let people be who they are, but be present with them and for them. And when we do that, and everybody more inclined does that, we become a place that is like an oasis in the desert of a world that is starving, that is thirsting for something better. So is someone hurting? How's your nutrition? How much time are you taking in cultivating that good soil in your life? Is there some restoring that needs to take place? Do you find yourself just spinning your wheels and not going anywhere? Let others come behind you and push you out of the mud. Renew that health. Don't be lazy. Make your time meaningful, being aware that God has sent His Son for your restoration and your cultivation so that we will be fruitful in a world that God wants to see His glory. Oh, we think, who, me? And God says, yeah, you. And I can do some amazing things among you if you just make yourself available. Do you need the prayers of the church? That's what we're here for. Do you need some healing, health, and nutrition? That's what we're here for. And when you're out in the world and you find people in need, tell them, I know a place you need to check out. But whatever your need is, you can come now as we give God His due praise. Let's stand and sing.
I've wandered far away.